Hey, man. Well, the normal joke around me and my pastor friends we always share is that Easter Sunday, empty tomb, week after, empty church. But y'all showed up today. Let's go. Let's go. I want to share a verse with us, and then we'll pray, and then you can grab your seat. But let's stay standing for a moment. Romans chapter 6, starting verse 4. For we died, and we were buried with Christ by baptism. That's what it's all about. It's a representation that we're dead to our old ways, and we are fully alive to Christ. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we may also live, what? New lives. That means the glorious power of God starts to go to work in your life. You can live a brand new life. Since we've been united with him in death, that's baptism, we will also be raised to life as he was. And we're kicking off just a three-week series this week called Raised to Life. And it's not all about baptism. In fact, today is really about how God's word will change your life and change your world. Why we have to put a priority on not just showing up on Sunday, but searching the scriptures for the truth that helps us make God decisions in every realm and every sphere of our life. But I'm asking you for the next 3 weeks, 21 days, would you be open to the reality that God has something significantly better than you're experiencing right now? Even if you say, hey, God's doing some good stuff, I got some momentum in my life, maybe in my family, maybe in my marriage, in my career, but that he actually has a life with Christ and a life for Christ, and that you can look more like Jesus and radically change your world. It's not gonna happen in 21 days, but we're gonna take a journey for the next 21 days. Just make sure that we are alive to everything that God has for us, and we are not going to live in the culture of Christianity, nor will we succumb to the pressure and culture of the world. But we're gonna live for the kingdom of God, and we're gonna see the glory of God in our everyday life. Because Jesus says, I have come to give you life. Not just eternal life, life in its fullest. A life full of meaning, a life full of purpose, a life full of passion, and a life full of victory. We're going from death to life in every area of life. Do you believe that? Can we pray and get ready for God to speak? Lord, we thank you so much for this, the victory that we now stand in, because death has been defeated on Easter, on resurrection. The cross of Good Friday and the empty tomb of Resurrection Sunday has given us new life, fresh grace, a relationship with God. But Lord, right now, we just choose to not live off of yesterday's revelation, but to find something new, something fresh from your Holy Spirit. Let the word of God, as it's opened up today, speak directly to our situation. Directly, Holy Spirit, we're open and listening to what you want to say to us. We do not want to be the same. We want to become everything we're called to be in Christ. Lord, I pray over the people of Kingdom City Church. Lord, I thank you that you have something new in store. And Lord, would you help us for 21 days to love your word more, to hear your voice more, to obey you more, to see you go to work more, to change our situations. Set us free from our struggles and help us bring life and victory to the world around us, to KC and beyond. Lord, I thank you for what you did last week, what you're gonna do today, the lives we get to celebrate that are coming alive to you and going public with their faith. And Lord, I thank you for everyone here that you wanna speak and you wanna change them because you love them so much. Let them experience your love, hear your voice, and grow today in Jesus' name. Can I get an amen? Amen. Amen, amen. Say hi to your neighbor, grab your seat. I got my heart, God kind of put this series about 3 weeks ago. 3 weeks ago, we were celebrating the birthday of our now four-year-old, Elle Golden Turner, Goldie Girl. She's named after the show Golden Girls. Thank you for being a friend. Just kidding. Goldie, she turned four, and on her birthday, obviously it's her birthday, but then it's also a reminder of that day 4 years ago when she was born was the first day at stay at home. The stay-at-home mandate, the order from our maybe Orwellian government that we have to stay home. You cannot, do not talk to people. Stay away from people. Get in your home. Some people were driving around with masks on. Remember when they're like, hey, if you're driving around but you're not going anywhere, we're gonna pull you over. But like, but then the officer would be within 6 feet. I don't know. I'm gonna stay away. Just kidding. I'm not here to talk about that. I'm just talking about for 4 years, we've just lived in a funk. I mean, it's the world has changed. The world has changed. And now maybe we've moved on from the pain of that season. Even in our church, we had people that did the illness, the sickness devastated and affected them. And we lost a lady in our church. And I'm not saying and making light of any of that. But I'm just saying we lived in like 4 years of fear and fracture and disconnection and family battles and all sorts. The enemy just loved the opportunity to stir up so much chaos. Sadly, it didn't just stay out there in the world. It was well planted in even the houses of God of worship in our nation. And so for 4 years of all this disunity and dysfunction and disconnection, it's flat out drama. I just feel like it's an opportunity for us. 4 years, like, why are you still living in the past? I think it's just a wake-up call opportunity. And honestly, it stirred in my heart even more. Last week on Resurrection Sunday, there was people in our church, they might be here today, and they said, hey, we haven't been here since COVID. And I'm like, oh my gosh. Like, you haven't been planted since COVID. You haven't been connected to your local church for 4 years. And I mean, you're here today, and many of you have been here along the whole journey, but what in your life hasn't changed like that was changed back then? You haven't gone back or even gone forward to the future that God has for you. So I just thought we'd take 21 days and get back to very simple kingdom basics so that we can see God's best, so that we can be raised to new life, so we can get out of the old and break free of the funk of these last 4 years. And be the future of what God wants to do in your neighborhood and in your workplace and in our city. It's a wake-up call. So we're going to have 21 days to resuscitate soul and spirit and raise you to new life. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul writes, as God's Spirit works within us, the Holy Spirit's working within us, we are being transformed. It's not that we just get transformed or one day will be transformed. The transformation process is directly connected to how much do you let the Holy Spirit work in you. And we're not just transformed to a better version of yourself. This isn't self-help. This is you becoming like your Savior. To become more like Christ, it says. This change is what? From one degree of glory to another. So if the glory of God is not in an area of your life, it's because God is still doing a transformation work there. Are you open to it? Are you walking in it? Are you ready for what he's prepared for you? And it says, all this comes from the Lord. This is the glory of God. Transformation, it requires us to have something we're aiming for, according to Paul, is to become more like Jesus. It also has a direction that we're called to go. This faith life for us as believers is not a destination that we just have one moment we give our heart to Jesus. It is a journey that we're on to become more like him. And any area of your life where you don't look like Jesus, and by the way, there's areas of mine he's still working. I've not arrived at every level of glory that God has for me. But any area where you don't look like Jesus is just an opportunity to be transformed to more glory and ever-increasing glory that he has for us in Christ. I read the story this week. It's actually, there's a compass that's forever like enshrined in the Smithsonian. And in fact, it's around this maritime exhibit, and it tells the story of a World War II ship that was sunk by a Nazi U-boat, right? A submarine. And then the ship's going down, and several had already lost their lives. And they're getting out in the lifeboats, and one sailor runs back in and grabs whatever he can so that they can make it on their journey. They're out in the middle of the ocean, far from anywhere. And what he grabs two loaves of bread, and he grabs one compass. And to me, And the story says that like, they ate the bread in the next couple days and they were starving at sea. In fact, some of them on the boat didn't make it all the way through, but because they had a compass, they could aim in the general vicinity where they thought they could be saved. And they found them. They found them in the middle of the ocean and several of them were saved. Just because this one sailor says, hey, we need a little bit of nourishment, but we also need to know where we are and where we're going. When I think about that, the bread and compass that saved their lives, I think about what God has given us that saves us. I think about what God has given us that sustains us. I think about what God has given us that directs us. When Jesus says that this is how we should pray, God, give us today our daily bread. Give us what we need for today. Jesus tempted in the wilderness when he responds to the enemy who is trying to push that button of his hunger. He says, go ahead and make these stones into bread so that you can be sustained. And Jesus says, I need more than carbohydrates. I need every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And he has victory over the enemy in the wilderness and goes on to fulfill his ministry and his purpose. When I think about bread, I think about the nourishment of our soul that the voice of God speaks to, that the word of God gives us life. But I also think about the compass that gives us direction and clarity. This is what I want to speak about today. I want to really speak to you about why the word of God, listen, will transform your life. That Sunday morning services are so special. I almost fell off the edge there. It has been that kind of week, so it would not have surprised me. But Sundays are so special because it's a celebration. It's worship to God together. It's the opening of the Word of God together. It's fellowship. It's to inspire you. My job up here is not to educate you in everything biblically, but to align you with your calling and your purpose so that you, the saints, do the work of the ministry. So that the real ministry happens out there in the world. This is our place of gathering and growing and equipping so that we can change the world. But this is not enough. It is not enough nourishment for your soul and spirit. And it is not enough, like even encouragement to the direction that God has for you. You need a true north. That's what I want to speak about today. Something that points you in the direction of your purpose and your potential. We know that a compass works according to the magnetic field on the earth. You cannot see it, but the compass can feel it. The compass responds to it, and it will always point you to the direction that is north. And from that pure direction, right direction, from that true north, then you can navigate to where you want to go. We know we cannot see it, but we feel it. Kind of like the allergies these last couple weeks. You cannot see it, but this week when I was a one-eyed ginger, because nothing scarier than a cyclops ginger. I couldn't see because the allergies have swollen eyes. I cannot see it, but it impacts me. The same is in the spiritual world. There is a very real world. In fact, I would tell you, more real than the natural, the supernatural, the above natural. And God's word shows us how to navigate a spiritual life in a natural world. How to live with a true north of your in Christ potential and purpose. And the spiritual laws, although we cannot see them naturally, we can choose to follow them spiritually. And it leads us to our potential from one glory to the next. What have you been living? What's been giving you direction? What have you been living your life according to, like, the compass of your heart? Is it your feelings? Do you go with your gut? I think sometimes the Holy Spirit can impress on what we would call our gut, but he's speaking to us. Is it based on just what your family did? Are you just going according to what you've always done? Are we still trapped in the last 4 years and making decisions out of fear? Do we have a famine mindset? And so we just have to hoard for ourselves and just take what we can? Or are we on the journey towards, with truth, towards purpose, towards potential? Are we really elevating our life from one glory to the next? Or maybe we're just dismissing all the spiritual things and we just want to live according to practical things. Well, I think today's message is not only spiritual and practical, I think it has the potential. For many of you who are in and out of church or maybe in and out of of seeing God at work in your life to radically change you and to give you not just daily bread, but to give you true north direction for your purpose. Ephesians chapter 4, it says, don't keep living like the ungodly do, for they are hopelessly confused in their thinking. Now, let me tell you, listen, the celebrities that we are enamored with in our nation, if they're not believers, hopelessly confused. You might model their fit, their look, their swagger. You might like their artistry, their confidence, their content. You might like all of that. But when it comes to life and death, when it comes to the spiritual, hopelessly confused without Christ. Their closed minds are full of darkness. They're far away from the life God gives because they've shut their minds and hardened their hearts against him. They don't care anymore about right and wrong. They indulge themselves with all kind of immorality, evil thinking, and the constant desire for more. There's like lust that I've got to have more. And I don't even think more is bad. It just cannot have your full heart. And I'm not here just going to take shots on pop culture or take shots at celebrities, but I'm here just to challenge the church, the people of God living for the purpose of God in the community of faith, that we just don't live by the world's value system. We've got a nourishment that the world does not have. And we have direction that they can never get without surrendering the lordship of their life to Jesus and living. Listen, this is the key for some of you because you believe Jesus is Lord, but the Bible isn't the way you build your life. We're surrendered to the lordship of Jesus and we're trusting the true north of Scripture. Hopelessly confused in their thinking. That's why Paul again says in Romans 12, we don't copy the culture, customs of this world. No, we let God transform us. We are being raised to a different life by the right and true way to think. So this new life, this faith life, it actually starts with the story that we celebrated last weekend. It starts with the gospel, the good news about what God has already done through his son Jesus on the cross. When we hear that story and something by the Holy Spirit leaps alive on the inside of us, then we respond. That's where faith begins. You know that? That's where your faith journey begins. Sadly, for many believers, that's where their faith journey stays. They never mature to look more like Jesus because although they have a connection with him, they are not taking care of it or cultivating. New life begins with the gospel. Romans 10 says that faith comes by hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. Salvation starts in the story of Jesus, but I want to take us a level higher today. Not just salvation, which we've seen so many of. We actually had a few salvations, three salvations in the first service today. Come on, if you, the week after Easter at the 9 a.m. That's a miracle. No, it doesn't. It starts in salvation, but then it moves into this journey that every one of us are on. It's called sanctification. Sanctification, big Bible word, what does it really mean? To be used for the purposes of God, to fulfill the potential, to get out of the world and into the kingdom, to be more holy, to set your sights on the things of God so you don't step in the same old continual sin cycles again and again, but you actually start walking in some victory by valuing what God values. It's the getting free from sin and becoming more of who you're called to be. So salvation starts in this story of Jesus, what he's done for us, but sanctification comes from following the truth. It comes from deciding what true north is for you and going on the journey towards it. What did Jesus say? You shall what? Know the truth, and the truth will then set you free. And truth is not relative. It's not relative to the opinions of your parents or your children. It's not relevant to the opinions of the media or to our government or anyone else. We believe, as believers, what we're saying is that Jesus is the way and the life. And in between him being the way to God and the life we're called to live, he is the what in the middle? He's the truth. Like, he is the truth. So if I'm looking for a world of confusion, if I'm looking for clarity of a compass of true north, I look to Christ. It shows me not only who died for me, but who I'm now living to become more like. So the Bible is not just God's viewpoint or his opinions. It shows you his values, and it shows us how to have victory when we begin to live according to it. So as we follow it, it means it starts to give us direction of where we're going. James chapter 1. Everyone got the book of James? If you don't have your Bible, it'll be up on the screen. James chapter 1. Everyone should be what? Quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. For a man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can what? Which can save you. Accept the word planted in you, which can save you. You know, I think often when we hear a sermon, you're inspired. But have you ever been inspired by something and then it doesn't change anything about you? Come on, you're inspired when you watch the fitness show, or you set a goal, but you don't take steps. Inspiration is wonderful, but if you don't elevate your life through system and steps, you'll never secure the transformation that you were inspired to have. That's what happens on Sundays. Sundays, you get inspired. I'm up here, sometimes almost screaming. I'm up here with alliteration, rhyming everything, so that you can remember it. But if you never take it and use it, it's just empty inspiration. It won't lead to transformation. It won't raise you to new life. It says you got to accept the word planted in you, which will save you. Jesus tells a story about that. He talks about all the different types of soils, and that the seed goes out, and there's nothing wrong with the seed, but there's something wrong with the soil. That there's a soil that's got the hardened path. In other words, like a hard heart. It says like the enemy, like a bird, comes in and he eats it up and it never fulfills its potential. There is no harvest. There is no fruit. There is no growth. It talks about one with soil that can't sustain root systems. It gets inspired in a moment. That's what we're talking about. But then it just cooks away because it never anchors itself to truth. It talks about there's soil that has wheats and tares in it. And that although the fruit is starting to grow, the harvest is on its way, the cares and concern of this world begin to eat it alive because the soil isn't ready. But according to James here, there's some precursors for you having the word planted in your heart that actually produces growth. There's some precursors to that word received. The first is that you need to be quiet and calm. I mean, not on Sunday. You need to be loud and say lots of amens. Amen. Why? He says be quick to listen and slow to speak and slow to become angry. So if you really want to hear from God and start obeying and following it, that you need to learn to get into a quiet place and maybe you need to settle some of your emotions down. Second two things it says is you need to clean up some things. You need to get clean and humble. Get rid of the filth and the evil that is so prevalent. How do we get clean? We get clean through confession. The word confession that we see in the New Testament, it's the Greek word homologeia, which literally means like to speak the same. It means to acknowledge that you've missed it and God's way is the right way. It's really to speak the same as God. When God says something's out and you've done it, then you say, you know what? I did it, but I know that's out of alignment. And then I confess my sins to God. The Bible says he's faithful and just to forgive us. And then what? Second part that many people lack and you cannot do without community. Then I share my struggle or my sin with another believer. And we don't just share it like, oh yeah, it's so hard. I wish I could figure this out. No, we share it and then we step into a moment of prayer. And not only am I forgiven by God, but then I'm healed in the context of community to speak the same, to agree with God. And then we humbly accept. You cannot have growth without humility. The Bible says he gives grace to the humble. So if you're not walking in humility, you're missing an avenue of God's grace in your life. And we humbly accept the word that's planted in us, and then it will save us. So faith that starts with the story about Jesus and us receiving the good news about what's already been done for us on the cross. But faith grows in God's word. If you want to grow your life, you learn to get a Bible life. And I know some of you are hearing this, and you're maybe new to the faith. And then on the other end of the spectrum, some of you are hearing this, and you've been in a believer for a long time. And you're hearing it is like, yeah, okay, Pastor Kyle, like you're trying to figure out what the real message is between the message. And you're just thinking through your deductive reasoning, I should read the Bible. And if you are thinking that, you have nailed it today. Because we're talking about a book that isn't just historical, and it isn't just axioms of wisdom. It is access granted to radical life change, because it is the truth, because it points us to Jesus. Because when it is believed, it produces breakthrough, breaking out of old behavior and changing you and transforming you to your purpose and potential, which is to look like Jesus. Faith starts with the gospel, but it grows in God's word. Back to the book of James, a couple verses later. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looked at his face in the mirror and is like, man, I look good today. Come on, even if you're mad out of shape, dudes, when you walk up in that mirror and you have your shirt off, you know you'd pop a little flex. You got that one little muscle still left from high school, you just hit that one right there. Yeah, it's my good side. And then after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks what? Intently. I ain't just getting a little glimpse of the word on a Sunday. I need my daily bread. This isn't just a nice little encouraging word about the goodness of God. No, this is true north. This is my compass. This is my direction. This is my salvation. He continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it. He will be what? Blessed. Blessed in what he or she does. We're not just listening, and we don't just look for a moment on a Sunday for 36 minutes and walk away and forget. We intently look at these perfect law, that's the word, that produces freedom. It isn't just Bible facts to memorize. It's the steps that we take that transform us, and it produces freedom, and then it produces blessing in just your spiritual life. No, blessing in everything you do. Your marriage is on struggle street. There's a word for you. I'm not saying there isn't counseling. I'm not saying there isn't another book that might help you communicate more clearly, but there is a true north for you. I've got despair in my soul. I'm lonely. I'm isolated. I'm going to the scripture, and I'm not going to forget what I look like, because it shows me who I am in Christ and calls me out of darkness and into his wondrous light. I find out that God says that I don't have to be alone, that he's close to the brokenhearted, and he places them in a spiritual family. So the only one choosing to be lonely is me. That I'm not in isolation and I don't have to live in insecurity. Start heading towards true north. Listen, when you graduate from listening to learning. Some of you are good listeners on Sundays, but that's all you ever leverage. And you walk out of here and forget what you're supposed to look like. The man who looks intently, that's reading the Bible. The man who continues to do this, that's reviewing and going back over what the Word of God says. To go from listening to reading to studying. Writing down what I learned. What questions do I have? I don't want to just get through my Bible memory or my Bible for the day and just check the box or close the book. I want to ask the Holy Spirit, what does this mean to me today? Help me use this. Help me grow in this. Help me apply this. And then we do it in community. That's why we have the Wednesday night Bible studies right now. Her Future, alternating weeks with Kingsmen, our men's Bible study. This week we have Kingsmen, and we don't just hear a message from me, we begin to discuss it together. And it's in the discussion time where we find out not only do other people deal with the same thing I'm dealing with, but also we get some encouragement and maybe even some best practices to not just hear it only, but to begin to start doing it. John chapter 5, verse 39, I love Jesus says this, you search the scriptures. In other words, you're studying because you believe it will give you eternal life. And the scriptures point to me. Now, context, he's speaking to the religious elite. They're looking for the answer when the answer is standing right in front of them. But here we are 2,000 years later. When we search and study the scriptures, what does it do? It points us to the one Jesus that gives us eternal life. It's the one that changes our life. You get a fresh revelation of Jesus. 1 Corinthians 13 won't show up on the screen, but talks about that. It's another mirror analogy. It says, like, dimly now we see. We see who we're called to be in Christ, but like through a fogged mirror. But the more we stare intently at him, the more the cloud and fog dissipates, and the more we see the reality of who we're called to become. And our identity is found in the authority of the scripture, because it points us to the fact that we're called to look like Jesus, and it gives us the grace and the steps to become that person. And if you never study God's word, you will never secure the seed that will produce a blessed life. You'll never produce real change. You will be saved, but you won't succeed. You'll be set free of your sin, but you'll never move forward into your purpose. So I'm just challenging you for 21 days. We're going to get the word in our hearts, and we're going to allow it to change us, to challenge us, to correct us, and to encourage us. Because we look to the perfect law, like James says in verse 25, and continue to do this, not forgetting what we've heard, not forgetting what we've read, not forgetting the promises of God, but then we actually start doing them, and that's when the blessing of God is produced. There's a Bible term for remembering and reviewing God's word. It's called meditation. Meditation is not like, I want emptiness in my mind. Now, that's what you need to do to reset your day, go for it. But meditation scripturally is mindfulness, not mind emptiness. It's mindfulness of the active presence of God in your life. It's mindfulness of the true north and the direction God's called you to take. It is not emptying out all the frustrations. It's replacing them with faith in who God is and what he has said about you. That's meditation. In the Old Testament, Joshua stands before God's people and says, do not let the book of law, in other words, the Bible, for them the Torah, do not let the book of law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, that you may be careful to do everything written in it. And then you will what? You'll be prosperous and successful. As that was true for those entering the promised land, so it is true for us that we hit the promises of God. When we talk about it, we meditate on it, we memorize it, we work it into our world. I created this week 21 life-changing scriptures. I didn't write the scriptures, by the way. Let me change that. Edit. I have highlighted 21 existing scriptures that I believe every believer should know. And I, in fact, many of you, even if you're new to faith, you've heard many of them. But some of you who have been following Jesus a long time, you know actually the passage, but it's not a part of your heart or your life. And so I was going to record video, little like video encouragements around each one, but I had one eye this week, so we didn't do that. So you have an audio version. We're going to memorize the scripture together. And we're going to meditate on the scripture together. And I believe it's 21 verses. There's 2,000 plus ones that will radically transform you, but I've just highlighted 21. If I had to pick 21 that I wanted you to have planted in your heart, I picked 21 that would, I believe, would take you 3 weeks to get through and let it get into you and watch and see on the other end, and you're not raised to new life in different places of your life. The fear becomes far from you, and you start changing who you are as you're becoming who you're called to be in Christ Jesus. You can write it down, you can jot it down, but you can text LIFE to 816-408-3384. No charge for separate shipping and handling. And every single day, you can grab a hold of one more scripture, not just to hear me say it, but for you to secure it in the soil of your heart, because that will raise you to new life. Jesus says, if you hear it and put it into practice in Matthew 7, you're building a different life. It's like a man who builds his life on a solid rock foundation. It does not matter the climate. It does not matter what the storm looks like. It doesn't matter what this election year stirs up. It doesn't matter what your corporate work looks like. It doesn't matter what other people say or do. Your life is built to stand on the rock. If you don't hear it only, but you build on it. We're going to put the scripture into practice for 21 days. Because I think if you only believe part of the Bible, you're going to have half of a life. I believe if you know this is truth, but you don't ever get into it and don't ever like get into you, you're really disregarding God. I think if you actually say that you believe it, but you don't obey it, you're either you just don't trust God's character, or you know better. And I'd just like to challenge you to anyway, super simple scriptures, but we're going to build in our life on them because we're going to learn to meditate on it more than the noise that we hear all around us. Then Ephesians 4, then we can have this promise of Ephesians 4. Then we'll no longer be like children. We're no longer immature. Forever changing our minds about what we believe because someone has told us something different. Like, we're not getting our theology off of TikTok. Let me tell you what's going to happen with this eclipse tomorrow. The sun is going to be blocked out for a moment, and then it's not going to be. And then Jesus is still going to be king over everything. Listen, I'm sick of the weirdo Christians making us look like clowns. By the end, they know more than Jesus that it's the end of the world. Hey, I'm not saying that earthquakes aren't prophesied in the Bible, and I'm not saying that eclipses aren't either. I'm just saying you don't know any better. And last time I checked, the blood new moons didn't usher in the new kingdom of God. And I doubt tomorrow will either. But even if they do or don't, why don't we live tomorrow like Jesus is? Why don't we live today like Jesus is coming tomorrow? And like do that by the way that we love and serve people. Okay, I'm off my soapbox. Someone that made it a lie sound like the truth. Instead, what do we hold to the truth in love. And by doing that, we become more and more like Jesus Christ. True North, it starts with true thinking. Jesus prayed this over his followers. Jesus prayed this over his disciples. You say, I'm a disciple of Jesus. I'm a follower of Jesus. He said, God, use the truth to make them complete. It's a Greek word, but the Hebrew equivalent is shalom. Use this word to make them at peace. Use this word to make them whole. Use this word, one way we can translate it, is to make them healed. Because your word is truth. Psalms 107, verse 20. It's a messianic prophecy about Jesus. It says, God sent his word, Jesus, the word that became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus, the word that has the creative power to make the heavens and the earth. Jesus, the word that shows us the way to go. And just like he created all that we see and feel and all that impacts our life, even spiritually, by the word that was spoken, same is true with the word of God. The Bible says that heaven and earth might pass away, but not every word that came from the Father will be completed. And so everything else might fall apart, but this I know, I am steady if I'm built on the rock. It does not matter the climate of the culture. It doesn't matter what the economy says. It doesn't matter the negativity of all of humanity. For me and my house, like Joshua challenged, we're going to serve the Lord. And we're going to trust this word. And we're going to begin to let it live in our heart and our life. I'm going to raise my own life up by digging into God's timeless truth and start working it into my life. The Bible says if I only hear it and I don't do it, I deceive myself. Man, it's one thing if someone else tricks me, but I don't want to deceive myself. So I'm going to do it. I'm going to live it. I'm going to learn it. I'm going to memorize it. I don't want to just know more about it because knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. I want it to go to work in my life. So that more of Jesus can be seen in my life. Psalms 107. He sent his word and he healed them. Jesus comes and he heals. The word of God brings healing. It brings wholeness in your life and rescued them from the grave. When we receive the word, it transforms us. It raises us to new life. It makes us look more like Jesus. It changes our world and the world around us. It is a compass that points you to your high calling in Christ. It is your daily bread that nourishes your heart and your soul. It is the light of the path that you're called to walk. It is a calling in to a life of significance and purpose. It is the word of God that will raise you to new life. Will you bow your head and close your eyes? First and foremost, I want to give an opportunity for those to receive Jesus. If you're here and you can't say, I remember we talked about at the beginning that faith comes by hearing this message, this word of God. By hearing the gospel, the good news of what he's done for you. That's the initial beginning of a life with God. It's a saved life. It says, I receive his grace. I'm a sinner. I know I need a savior. I cannot save myself, but I believe Jesus already has, so I'm going to receive the gift of his grace. The Bible says if we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, that salvation is ours. We are forgiven, and it is the beginning of this eternal life with God. It's your salvation. And some of you that are in the room right now, you're like the people last week that you had to make the decision for the first time and say, I'm going to put my hope in Jesus Christ. So if you're here and you never said yes to Jesus, I'm so glad that you're here. But my heart would ache if you didn't get this opportunity to receive him as your Savior, to receive the grace that's already yours. Simply through a belief in your heart and a prayer, we are going to pray together as one family. So if you're here, listen. If you're here and you've never said yes to Jesus, maybe if you said it years ago, maybe you grew up in church, but you're just doing things your own way, and this, you know, you're lost without him, and it's time to say yes. Make the heart decision that I'm going to receive salvation today. No one look around. I'm not going to make you stand up. I'm not signing you up for church. We're just simply acknowledging in a moment of humility that you need Jesus as your Savior. If that is you, with no one looking around, say, Pastor Kyle, today is a day of new beginnings. I'm going to receive the gift of Jesus. I want to be saved. I want the grace of God. I want to be forgiven and set free. Can you just lift up your hand? No one looking around. Just you and God. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It's awesome. Anyone else? 6. Awesome. Put your hands down. Maybe that's you online or at Lansing. We're so excited. Brand new beginning. 6, that's so beautiful. Can we pray this prayer all together? We can lift up our heads, open our eyes. Can we say this? Everyone together, come on, smile on our face. Say, God, I believe you love me. You love me so much that you sent your son as a sacrifice for my sins. Jesus died for me. My sins are paid in full. They're buried in the grave. But my Savior is alive. I believe I am forgiven. I will be with God forever. And from this day till that day, I'm following Jesus. His word is my way, and his grace is enough. In Jesus' name. Amen. Can we celebrate everybody who prayed that prayer? Awesome. So good. So good. I'm asking everybody to stay because in just a moment, some of the people that came ready to be baptized are going to stand up and we are going to celebrate. Let's tear the roof off this place because they're going public with their faith. But listen, I think about the story where Jesus rocks up to one of his best friend's house. Lazarus. Lazarus has been dead. He's been dead for a while. And then he speaks. Lazarus, get out of there. And Lazarus hears, somehow supernaturally by the Spirit, he's awakened to life. And he walks out of the grave. But then the next thing Jesus says is, hey, get those old clothes off him. He was wrapped up in burial garments. And his friends came around and they removed it. So he wasn't bound by his old death and sin, but he was alive and free. Some of you just heard 6, 7 people that said yes to Jesus. Get out of the grave. You are forgiven. You are alive in Christ. And you came on out. Come on, that's awesome. But listen, some of you, you're still covered in your old death and sin. And we as friends, spiritually, we family, as the family of God, we want to give you the opportunity to be baptized publicly. That what we said in the very first passage, we are getting out of the grave, right? We're getting out of the old sin, and we're being raised to new life. We are buried in with Christ in baptism, and we're resurrected with Christ as we come out. It is a public demonstration that you are not in the grave anymore, and you are headed towards the true north of your purpose and potential in Christ. So listen, there are people with shirts already on, ready to be baptized all around the room. But there are some of you that know, I still got death on me. I still got sin on me. I still got shame on me. I still got religion on me. I need to break out. I'm saved, but I got to get sanctified. I need to bust out of my old and become everything I'm called to be in Christ. You did not come prepared to be baptized, but we came prepared for you. We're going to give you time and have a quick talk with you. And then we have clothes, everything you need, shorts, underwear, not used, brand new. Keep them if you want them. Throw them away if you don't. T-shirt and towels for you, because I'm not going to waste time anymore. We don't have to wait till a month from now or 6 weeks when we do it again. Today is your day to get free from sin and shame. Get out of death and into life. God wants to raise you to new life. So I'm going to count to three in a moment. Listen, and some of you, the Holy Spirit is stirring on the inside of you that you cannot go back to what you used to do. You can't sit in a Sunday anymore and then walk out of here with a moment of inspiration but not have any transformation. It's time to cross from death to life. And you already are as a believer for eternity, but in the here and now, you're still living in death. And we're busting out. And we are buried in Christ and we're resurrected to new life. So when I count to three, those that already prepared to be baptized are gonna stand and we're gonna shout. And then some of you that did not come be prepared, but you cannot deny what God is doing in your heart right now, you're gonna stand and we're gonna shout. Because God is bringing people from death to life. It's happening right here. Do you believe that? One, you know that you are forgiven. Two, you've given your heart to Jesus. Three, you say, I surrender. There's no going back. I'm not dead anymore. I'm alive in Christ. If that is you and you'd like to be baptized today, would you stand to your feet? If you got your shirt on already, stand to your feet. If you don't yet and you want to be, I see you. Anyone else want to join in? There's three back there. Young man, let's go. New beginnings are yours in Jesus' name. Come on, let's go wild for a moment. And as you, listen, grab your stuff, maybe give it to a friend. You're going to head out that back door right there. Come on, if you got your stuff, you've already head out that back door. And we're going to worship God for a moment. We're at 12:24. Next 15 minutes, we're going to baptize 40 people in this place, and we're going to celebrate together. If you got to go, change your plans, because we're going to have a resurrection party in this house today, because this is what we live for, this is what we serve for, this is what we give for, and this is what we believe is the most important thing we can be a part. Why don't you stand to your feet? You believe God's got something good for you these next 21 days? Can we give it up for them one more time? And come on, let's sing with all of our hearts.